It's the WTIL Morning News with Tom Meredith, Jim Lee, and Will Stevenson.
And we are very happy to welcome in Galesburg native Karen Brophy. Karen, good morning. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. Y'all recovered from Sunday's race? Or how long does it take to recover from running 26.2 miles?
Generally, it doesn't take me very long. What I typically do is just go out and run when I get back. But this time, I haven't really. I'm just going to take it easy for the next few weeks or so and just try to see how things go. I ran injured. That's something I kind of do, and it's not good, and it's been setting me back further and further. And I ran with my foot taped, and I thought I was going to be okay. And after about mile 8, I was pretty much shutting it down from there and just tried to hang on until the finish. But it was really exciting, you know. It was very different, you know, starting on the Verrazano Narrows Bridge, and that's what I really couldn't wait for. But, yeah, it was a neat experience. I've always wanted to run New York, and I went all the way out there in 2012, and it got canceled on me because of Hurricane Sandy, so...
Do you know how many people officially were entered and ran?
I'm not sure how many people finished, but they were saying it was probably about 50,000 at least.
Oh, 50,000. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I was thinking 18 to 20,000. I know there's been some like, wow, 50,000.
Yep.
Wow, goodness. We have a picture on our website from that was taken above the Verrazano Narrows Bridge at the start of the race, showing all the people on both spans of the bridge. It's just absolutely incredible to see that.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Did you feel a little claustrophobic when you get packed into that? I mean, I know that you've run in big fields before, but at that start, is it kind of intimidating to have all those people in one spot on a bridge?
It seemed that everything seemed to spread out a little bit quicker than I thought. I actually missed my wave, believe it or not. It was crazy. I think some of the volunteers were confused and they were just kind of directing people in different directions, and I got right to the gate, and they closed it and said, sorry, you know, if you were in wave one, you're now in wave two. We can't let anybody else through. And I wanted to cry. Yeah, it was, you know, I don't know why I was so hell-bent on being in wave one. I mean, like, it's a good feeling to know that, you know, you're seated closer to the front, and if you miss your wave, then you've got to start further back, and then it means maybe having to fight to get back up there, but in reality, your time doesn't start until you cross the starting line. So it's not like that, you know, once the gun goes off or the cannon goes off, you know, the race is going to start no matter where you're at, if you started or not.
Yeah, so not like an
cross the line.
Yeah, not like an auto race where if you're on the pole, you actually have a bit of an advantage.
Yeah.
So how many people approximately in each wave? I'm guessing at least a couple thousand. Is it that many, or is it hundreds? Or,
you know, I really don't know, but they did break it down into four waves this year. So
I guess it would be several thousand then with 50,000 people there.
Crammed in, yeah. But the bridge, it wasn't very crammed at all. It was really windy, though, and it was funny. Like, I wasn't frustrated from the wind. I generally run really well, you know, in windy conditions, hills. But, you know, battling injury, that was the only thing that really, you know, was kind of irritating, you know, running the race and going downhill. Anything downhill, of course, hurt it. And then the if there was, like, an uneven surface that I would step on, like, a divot or just, you know, a pothole or whatever, or trip over someone. There were two guys that were kind of pushing and shoving each other after the first couple miles, and, you know, just like, oh, you know, trying to hurry up and speed up and get out of the way a little bit. But
I guess not unlike New York City traffic, even in the marathon, they treat each other that way.
Yeah, but and overall, though, people were really supportive. You know, people asked me, oh, hey, are you okay? And, you know, just hanging in there. I just thought it was kind of nice. And actually waiting for my wave to head to the start, you know, I'm standing there in my little skimpy buns and my racing singlet, shivering, and somebody threw a blanket on me, and somebody else threw me a hoodie and a scarf. So I thought it was really sweet.
Well, how long was it till you actually got after the first wave, when you actually got to the start line to go?
Well, I was going to have to wait about 40 minutes.
Oh, wow. Mine,
but since I missed it, like, I got right to the gate, I had to wait like another half an hour plus on top of that. So, yeah, it was a little disappointing, but, you know, I didn't run as fast as I was going to or had planned on running anyways. So I can't really be too mad about the start anymore. I was all the way out there and I was like, well, I was going to drop out after mile 8 or so. Cause I really just, you know, my foot was killing me. And, but I talked to one of the race officials, and actually it was one of the cops standing on the corner, and I was like, hey, you know, how long is it going to take me to get to the finish, back to the finish line area? And he's like, well, it's all the way in Central Park, and just kind of gave me this funny look. And I'm like, oh, great. So I was just like, well, I guess I'll just stay in it then. So, you know, I did the best I could and just kind of shuffled along until I got to the finish. And it finished in a really nice area, though, in Central Park, and it was just a couple blocks away from where I was staying. I stayed at the Westside YMCA there, and it was kind of neat with the finishing in the park and everything. And you know, all these people, they're just so supportive, screaming and like, oh, good job. And I was upset, of course, when I finished the race and had to go to the med tent, but it wasn't anything too bad. You know, they wrapped my foot for me and I was able to go claim my bag and, you know, just kind of finish up there, walk it off. And it was a really neat experience, though. It really was, because, like I said, it was one of the races I've always wanted to run. I don't know if I'll run that one again. It definitely wasn't one of my favorites, but it was a beautiful course. It really was. I'm getting really excited about Boston, though. I have to be healthy. You know, I told myself that if I'm injured, I'm not going to run it. I'm already in Boston for next year, so I'll use the next month and a half or so to just try to, you know, recover, and we'll see how it goes. But I'm really excited, and I really love Boston.
Yeah, Karen, you know, you're talking about running with the foot injury, and most of us can't even imagine the conditioning and the determination it takes to run a marathon, even if we're completely healthy. And for you to have a foot injury that starts bothering you after 8 miles and to finish the race, I mean, for us, I mean, that's what an accomplishment that is for you. But I guess as a runner, you're not just satisfied with finishing. You have a goal, and even though it's inspiring to us that you would finish with a foot injury, to you it was still not satisfying, huh?
Yeah, and I feel so selfish for saying that, but I think it makes, you know, the races that you run and like your personal best, it makes them even greater, just because, you know, you don't get out and run all the time. I mean, I know. I don't know, it's really hard to get out and run a personal best every single time, and it would be great, but like I said, you know, you get those races where you run a few personal bests, and it just makes them that much more rewarding.
Talking with Karen Brophy, sorry to interrupt you, Karen, she's a Galesburg native living in Madison, Wisconsin, now just ran the New York City Marathon this past Sunday. Karen, you had mentioned the delay at the start getting put in the second wave. I guess that kind of has to affect your psyche a little bit, because it probably changed your warm-up routine and everything.
You know, I didn't even warm up.
Oh, wow.
To tell you the truth. In a marathon, I try not to even really worry about that as much, just because in the past, I mean, I'll go out and run for like 5 minutes, just a little bit, but it's 26.2 miles, so, you know, your first few miles is your warm-up. That's your warm-up right there. And it definitely helps, you know, keep you from going out too fast, because I've done that before. I mean, my first marathon, I didn't know what I was doing. I ran amazing, but I was running sub 7 minute mile pace.
Wow.
And it was not good. But yeah, it's your first few miles is definitely your warm up, and I try not to worry too much about it. I've gotten a lot easier with like. Just preparing the night before, you know, with like what I'm supposed to eat for dinner. And when I travel, you can't get the same thing every single time. So over the years, I'm a little bit more flexible about what I eat the night before and just how I prepare.
Yeah, I thought of you when we heard the forecast for it to be so cool and very windy. But the one thing I thought of was when we first talked to you, about running marathons, you said that you were a cool weather runner. You said you prefer it to be a little cool than too warm, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
So other than the wind, were the conditions pretty decent for you?
Yeah, I thought the conditions were great. It was a beautiful day out there. It really was. Yeah, it was a little gusty, and I was getting blown around a little bit, but you know, I didn't really look or pay much attention. That sounds terrible. I don't even know my finishing time. I really don't. Like, that's how upset I was about it. I don't really want to know. I know I was probably about an hour slower than my best time, and that's really bad. But
well, you're running.
Like I said, what's that?
I say you're running with an injury. You gotta expect that not gonna be as good as before. You know, we talked a little bit off the air beforehand. You know, talk a little bit about the differences of running Boston and New York, because I'm thinking I've never been to New York City. I'm thinking, is it dirty? Is it this or that? And you started on Staten Island, ran through the five boroughs, and then finished in Manhattan and Central Park. But you said it was absolutely a beautiful run.
Yeah, it really was. It was nice out, and I don't know, there are runners everywhere. The only thing that I don't think I'll ever get used to is, you know, with the water stops, running over all the cups and banana peels. And, I don't think I'll ever get used to that in the bigger races. There's so many cups because you drink the water and then you just throw the cup. So the cups are everywhere and banana peels are everywhere.
Well, I suppose there's enough runners running this that they really don't have time for a cleanup crew to go out and sweep all that away, huh?
No, but they try their best. You know, they're picking up cups on the side, and they definitely try.
Karen, you talked about you're going to be eventually begin training for Boston again next year. Now that not that the winters aren't bad enough here, but you're in Madison, Wisconsin, it's probably even a little bit worse up there. What's your training like during the winter? Do you still get out and run outdoors in the winter?
Oh, yeah, I love it. You know, if it's not 100% ice covered out, I'm outside. You know, I really enjoy running in the winter, and I'm confident that I can actually get some really good training in during the winter since I run a lot better in the cooler conditions. The summer I kind of worry about just because it really drains me. Don't really have much energy, but the winter, it's great. You know, it really is. And I really enjoy running the snow on the trails, just a little bit everywhere, and just bundle up. There are days, though, where it's so cold that you have so many layers on that you just kind of have to shut it down at some point, just do a few miles and then just leave it at that, because you can't really get much out of it. Either that or run on a treadmill. Just because you have to have so many layers on it, you can't really get as much out of the workout. So.
Sure. Do you have a date or an age in mind, Karen, where you think, you know, I'm going to do this until a certain point, or do you just wait and figure, well, my body and my life circumstances will tell me when I may have to scale this back a little bit?
Yeah, I get that question a lot, actually. I'm probably going to try to do it for as long as I can. You know, I see a lot of older runners, and I just, you know, if I can stay healthy, I'll just keep doing it. And at some point, I'm sure it's going to be like, well, I'm going to have to scale my competitiveness down a little bit, because I'm really competitive, and especially with myself. You know, it's not like with, oh, you know, I'm trying to beat this group of people or these 10 runners that I've seen before at this race or anything. It's generally, I'm in competition with myself, so I'll probably have to scale that back a little bit. You know, because I have high expectations, I really do, and I mean, I know what I can do. I just need to be healthy, and you know, get the training in, the training that I need, and it's going to happen. I'm going to run really well. Due for another good race, I know I am, and I'm hoping it'll be Boston. I was hoping it would be New York, but I knew I went in injured, and my training hadn't been the greatest either. I did get in some pretty good weeks, closer to 50-mile weeks, and but I've just been working a ton, so it's really hard to kind of balance that, to work a lot of hours and get two-a-days in, or, you know, I had to tweak my training just a little bit, but hopefully, you know, this winter I'll be able to put in some really good miles and get my base back up and try to get a few races in there, because I actually only, this was the first race that I ran and finished this year. I ran the half in Des Moines in April, and I didn't even finish it. I dropped out and didn't run another race until New York. So I'm just glad that I actually finished it, just thinking about it now, because I didn't run and finish another race this year. So,
Well, I know you want to give your foot some time to heal, but you talked about doing some competitive races. Do you do any of the turkey or the jingle bell runs, any of those in the cooler weather?
I usually do. I don't know if I'll be ready to go by then, but I usually love the turkey trot. Anything in the cooler temps, obviously, like in January, some of those 5Ks and 10Ks, but I'm probably just going to play it by ear and just take a few weeks off, see how it goes. If I need to take a month or even a month and a half, it's going to be tough, but I can still, you know, ride the bike or, you know, elliptical, just stay off of it.
Yeah, we understand the schedules. It's all Tom and I can do to get a half hour at the YMCA every other day, so you're doing pretty good, Karen. A lot of discipline. We admire that.
Thanks.
Karen, thank you so much again for taking the time this morning. We really appreciate it. Good luck with the healing of your injury, and we'll look forward to talking with you again before you head to Boston and after that race as well.
All right.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thank you so much, Karen. We appreciate your time.
Okay, bye.
News, information, and great conversation every weekday morning. The WGIL Morning News on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.